Most of us have grown up with fairy tales designed to guide us into safe conduct and good moral order, tales of innocent victims falling foul to villainous monsters and being rescued by gallant heroes. We love it, don't we? These good and evil archetypes of childhood stories have broken beyond bedtime reading and morphed into crime fiction. But these days, the bad guy is often portrayed as a multidimensional character, a person with feelings and motivations and emotional baggage. One author who's taken this direction is Jeff Lindsay. He's the award-winning author of the Dexter series of books, in which the character of Dexter Morgan is a killer who only kills those he believes deserve to die. The series has been adapted into a popular television show. For the book show, Matt Smith explores our fascination with the modern villain.
For as long as there has been literature, there have been stories about killers. Starting with Cain and Abel, the battle between good and evil is a classic theme, but in the modern era, we're perhaps seeing these two change sides. Notable early killers make their appearance in fairy tales, just maybe not the ones we're used to reading to our children. Barbara Creed is a professor of screen studies from the University of Melbourne and has studied the culture of horror.
The classic fairy tales such as Little Red Riding Hood, Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast, Hansel and Gretel, well, they're all about children trying to deal with the major problems of life. Many of them are about the child's worries about the unknown, the terrifying. Children often in the fairy tales go on great dangerous journeys but come out safely at the other end. I think adults still need fairy tales, but we dress them up a little differently to appeal more to ourselves. Dark, bloody fairy tales with happy endings help children through difficult periods. Like Little Red Riding Hood, she is told she mustn't stray from the path, but she does, and she encounters the wolf. And the very first version, of course, the Perrault version, it's quite clear that it's a tale of sexual encounter, and Little Red Riding Hood is sexually seduced by the wolf, and this is the point of the tale. She's a willing companion to the wolf. But in the Grimm's version, it's slightly cleaned up, and she resists the wolf, then helps the woodsman who comes by kill the wolf. Fairy tales go through enormous changes over the centuries according to the changes taking place in society, I think. And I think we're now heading back to looking more at the dark side of fairy tales, not through the Disney animated versions, but through the horror and fantasy film.
Popular culture has embraced the concept of the noble villain, and it has been finding its way into books for decades. To make this work, it is important we relate to the killer. Sue Turnbull is a professor of media studies at the University of Wollongong and has been researching crime in the media and crime fiction.
The Old Testament has a number of really good kind of revenge stories where there are killers. But what you're talking about is this notion of a serial killer, someone who kills and becomes a demon of one sort or another. And indeed, you can see those in popular culture coming out of Anglo-Saxon, the Icelandic sagas, the Norwegian sagas. And you get in Anglo-Saxon literature, of course, the figure of Grendel and Grendel's mother. And they are serial killers, but they are in fact highly motivated. And that's the interesting thing about those characters, which evokes our sympathy, which is that they are not irrational. They are rational. They are killing for the motive of revenge. And you can follow that through, basically, you know, in popular culture, that there are stories of killers. Dracula, that figures in a kind of European tradition. Jack the Ripper, which is a basis in reality. And then for me, the turning point in terms of the 20th century and the representation of the serial killer comes with Thomas Harris, but not Hannibal Lecter, in fact. Prior to The Silence of the Lambs, Thomas Harris wrote another book called Red Dragon, where he had the figure of a serial killer who had suffered an abusive childhood. And in the book, Red Dragon, we hear his voice. In a way, what Harris did, which is similar to what Jeff Lindsay does in Dexter, is to say, here's the serial killer inside all of us. Here's the possibility that a human being can experience something which perverts them in such a way, which changes them so profoundly that they are a human being, but they operate in a different way. Now, the worst kind of serial killer that I think people can imagine is one that is motiveless, one who kills purely for the pleasure of killing.
Jeff Lindsay is the author of Dexter, a series of books chronicling the story of a serial killer who only kills those who truly deserve it. Dexter kills within a strict code of rules and has a part of him urging him along, as he calls it, a dark passenger. This dual personality is a classic theme, famously found in Robert Louis Stevenson's classic work, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
You know, the point in Jekyll and Hyde is that this duality is in all of us to some extent. And I think with Dexter and psychopaths in general, it's not. It's new research is showing that there's actually a physiological difference in the psychopath's brain. It doesn't look like ours. And then the imprint of what we call the traumatic event in the books focuses that into homicidal psychopath. But it's different. We are not all capable of that. Only people who are psychopathic to begin with are capable of it. And, the point in Jekyll and Hyde is this evil is in all of us. One of the things of that era of writing, and Stevenson in particular, is, the horror that is in all of us and that we all will face at some point, which, of course, reaches its ultimate expression in Lovecraft. But that's kind of the direction they were going.
So how hard is it to relate to a character that is so flawed? Can a reader find appeal in a killer? To Jeff Lindsay, Dexter's dark passenger is crucial.
At a certain bottom level, it allows Dexter to say, I didn't do it, on a very real deep thing. It's an escape hatch. It wasn't me, it was the dark passenger. And it's always written deliberately. When the dark passenger takes over, you know it, because he starts saying we instead of I, and speaking in the present tense. And that's really one of the things it's intended to do. Again, it's part research and part my gut feeling on it.
It's this motivation that Sue Turnbull finds important in Dexter and allows a reader to connect with a killer.
What Jeff Lindsay does with Dexter is to very carefully take that serial killer who appears as though he killed for the pleasure of killing, but to actually motivate him, that he deals with the people who really deserve to die, who are going to get away with it. So he becomes an Old Testament figure. He becomes the figure of a kind of justice that operates according to its own code. And then where it gets inflected more interestingly is that, in fact, Dexter loves doing what he's doing. He has to do what he does because psychologically he's conditioned. It's the only way he gets a certain kind of peace. So we're on very complex psychoanalytic grounds. And I think the lure of Dexter is precisely the fact that we can understand him. We think we understand him. We almost understand him. It's not what we want to do, but it's rational enough that we can actually understand and interpret his behavior accordingly and acknowledge that that could be me.
This kind of writing doesn't happen by accident. And in the modern complex world, it takes careful research. Jeff Lindsay's most recent book, Dexter is Delicious, explores the concept of voluntary cannibalism and how it is found, thriving, in the online world.
A lot of it comes from the internet, but I'm lucky that I have some really good friends who are cops and forensic people, too. And if I get something kind of outlandish going, I can bounce it off of them. I know I had problems handling it sometimes. The day I discovered the cannibal chat rooms, you also notice that like 1 in 3 of the postings on it are from people who want to be eaten. And as human beings, we can all stretch the imagination and go, okay, I can imagine someone sick enough to like eating human flesh. But I don't think we can make that imagination stretch to the point where we understand someone who wants to be eaten. But as I said, a lot of those postings were, and one of them was from a 16, 17-year-old girl begging to be eaten. Please consider me, I'm good-looking and very healthy, and it's all I've ever wanted. And I really had trouble with that. I have 3 daughters, and maybe that makes it hit harder, but I also have a weak stomach.
We've always had dark tales to scare us as we read. Modern fiction might explore darker themes, but maybe that is nothing new. Maybe it's just the level of detail that has changed. In years to come, Sue Turnbull believes crime fiction could be viewed the same way we see classic fairy tales.
One of the jobs that crime fiction can do is to take us inside the minds of those people who are profoundly disturbed and make them not excuse their acts, but make us so that we understand what it is to be human and understand how one needs to intervene in certain kinds of situations. For me, crime fiction makes the dangerous world I live in more explicable in all its randomness.
I did do a lot of research, and one or two of the reviewers got snarky and said, why can't he stick to the real stuff? Well, you know, wake up and smell the coffee. It's real. There are real cannibals. They really are. They exist. I think it was Bruno Bettelheim who said that a fairy tale is a story that leaves a child with a sense of delight and completion or something like that. And I would say Dexter is an adult fairy tale, because at the end of the books, you know, it's a happy ending for Dexter, and it leaves the readers with a sense of delight, I hope. That's certainly what I intend.
Sense of delight. Not sure about that. That was American crime fiction author Jeff Lindsay, best known for his novels about the sociopathic vigilante, Dexter Morgan. Jeff was speaking with Matt Smith for The Book Show, and Jeff Lindsay is currently writing the sixth book in the series. It's called Double Dexter.